It's NBA Minute on the Gary Sharp Show. Once again, reminded how blackouts in certain areas are absolutely terrible. The fact that this area gets blacked out with the OKC Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Denver Nuggets is absolutely unexplainable. It's stupid. It's dumb. I don't like it. There's no team here for them to watch. How do you expect to grow an NBA audience in an area that there's no NBA team if half the teams that are close to here are blocked off?
So it is kind of on Fox Sports Midwest here in Omaha. We get Thunder and Timberwolves.
Yes. Never the Nuggets. Never the Nuggets.
Almost got their G League team.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. The Knicks just took down the Magic. 91-84 in what looked like a 90s matchup. Kevin Porter, a rookie in Cleveland, he's going to be either waived or traded after he had got into a screaming match with a Cavs team official over giving him some extra space in his locker to accommodate Taurean Prince, who just came over in a trade, the James Harden blockbuster. And speaking of James Harden blockbuster, what came down this weekend, Caris LeVert is out indefinitely for the Pacers with a they found a mass thing on his kidney, so they're gonna get that checked out, make sure that he's all healthy and ready to go. But talk about a good timing for a trade to happen, because I don't know if he gets that checked out if this trade doesn't happen.
True. Don't laugh at me because of the question I'm about to ask. James Harden made his debut the other night.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looked like the James Harden of old. Kevin Durant had 42 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that James Harden in Houston was wearing a fat suit?
There's a chance. Gary, there is a chance. Underneath the warm-up, there is a chance.
I don't ever like to comment on people's weight. You know, when you're a hefty fella. when at one point you wore size 46 pants. But maybe I can if I at one time wore size 46 pants. I think he was wearing a fat suit in Houston.
I think so too.
Because if you look at the last time he played with Houston, especially in warmups, the dude had a boiler. I mean, he looked like a guy at the rec center who had been smoking Marlboros and eating convenience store food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, knocking back a couple of hockey pops, they decided to go out there and play a little pickup. And then he shows up on Saturday night for the Nets, and he looks like he's in great shape.
Unreal.
I think they need to investigate, was he wearing a fat suit?
Now, what I will say is that the Brooklyn Nets' primary color is black. Black does make you look a little bit slimmer than normal. But I don't
think... Why, when you say that, you got to look at me... I do have a lot of black in my wardrobe.
And you're looking at me because I'm in black right now as well. But there's no way it's taking that much off. It ain't taking that much off. He was wearing a fat suit, something. Some extra towels on.
How is that not a story? There's no way that in 36 hours you look trimmer.
Yeah, there's none. Mm-mm.
Just saying, Woj, Shams, you might want to look into it.
And it's amazing what you look like when you actually care about the team. You're actually going out there and playing 100%.
Yeah, that's what is BS.
Yes.
Is he wasn't happy in Houston. He forced his way out. And then if I'm a Rocket fan, and whether James Harden says, oh, I love you, Houston, you know what? Go F yourself.
Yep.
Because it looked like you were having fun. But you know what? Look at my team without you. They're having fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an opposite here of his situation compared to Deshaun Watson. Harden is the generation of the spoiled and entitled athlete that forces their way out if they're not happy, or forces changes if they're not happy. Deshaun Watson, who I think has been a good member of the Texans. He signed a big deal. They made a commitment to him. He made a commitment to him and said, I'm here. I've embraced the city of Houston. I want to win. Well, they didn't necessarily hold up their end of the bargain. But it's not like he went out there and he was hanging out in strip clubs and wasn't showing up for training camp.
Right.
Deshaun Watson has always been there. Deshaun Watson quietly had one of his better seasons this year, and he was playing with scrubs for the most part.
Yep.
His best wide receiver was traded just willy-nilly to Arizona. There were injuries, but Deshaun Watson was there every single day.
Yep.
There's, and he may force himself out of Houston, which all you have to do is look this weekend. Quarterbacks matter. Quarterbacks in the NFL matter. Look at the quarterbacks that are still left. Quarterbacks matter. But now Deshaun Watson doesn't appear that he wants to be in Houston. They're going to trade J.J. Watt. You know what? Maybe it's a good thing. You just blow up the whole thing in Houston. You start over. You got a brand new GM. You're going to have a brand new head coach. You've got absolute chaos. I wish that, you know, pros could act like pros and sit down and have some discussion. But if you are, if I consult you for somebody, if I say, hey, George, what kind of guests you want to have on to talk about blank? And you give me all these different names, and then I just completely ignore them, you're not going to be happy. But in this case, people aren't going, man, James Harden is right. He is right, man, for doing what he did. They're like, I feel for you, Rockets. In this case, it's about the player. It's the signing of the player. And I'm on the side of Deshaun Watson. He did everything. He put up with Bill O'Brien trying to be the coach and the GM. You said, hey, what do you want? And he says, this is what I want. And then you get none of it. And now Houston's in a spot where you can't afford to have a disgruntled Deshaun Watson. Is it really his last snap? And if that's his case, you can't wait long to trade him. You got to do it soon. You can't wait until draft day and go, hey, you want Deshaun Watson? You got to do it now. And you're trying to attract a head coach who's going, hey, am I going to have, who's going to be my quarterback? Deshaun Watson, by the way, never have we said, was he wearing a fat suit? Unlike James Harden.
Never.
I'm serious, George. I don't know why that's not a bigger deal. Maybe there's a lot of stuff going on Saturday night. You had an NFL playoff game, but Harden is having a big night, and nobody says, man, he looks really good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And you know what? The first time that those pictures came out about him in the warm-up suits, I was like, you know what? It's just a bad angle. And then the second one came up, I was like, okay, that's not a bad angle. There's no way it's that bad of an angle. No. It should be talked about a little bit more.
Thank you.
30-point triple-double in your first game. And you were giving Houston everything that you got. Get out of here.
Are there James Harden fans?
Crickets.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Really.
I think so. If you are a fan of recruiting, this is something, speaking of James Harden potentially wearing a fat suit that I think should get more attention, this is something. The NCAA is trying to tackle all these different things that are going on. Name, image, likeness, one-time transfer. It's kind of stuck right now. There's a lot of debate, especially on the name, image, likeness. On the one-time transfer, I think it's just on pause and it will get passed. Because if it does not, it will be the wild, wild west when it comes to getting waivers. College football coaches right now that are dipping their toes in the portal or players that are going in the portal, they have full belief that they will get to transfer for free and they won't have to worry about waivers. I mean, Nebraska has been known in the past to block guys that leave Nebraska or drag their feet. And now that Wandale Robinson has a home, would Nebraska stand in the way of Kentucky? But most people expect the one-time transfer to be passed, so you don't have to make a waiver and say, I'm transferring home because of family reasons, or, you know, what it really is, like family reasons, but the place where you're transferring from, they know it for a different reason. You got to go back and forth. And so the NCAA says, hey, this is the response. What's your response? Blah, blah, blah. Here's something that I think is the next thing to take up for the NCAA. And I think it's fair to high school athletes or junior college athletes that signed a letter of intent. Jeremy Pruitt is out at Tennessee. Tennessee signed a recruiting class in December. Fairly good recruiting class. It's not as good as it was in August. It kind of fell apart. Now we know why it was so good in August. There's an investigation going on in Knoxville surrounding recruiting. Jeremy Pruitt is out. Phil Fulmer is now on the hot seat. It is January 18th. I imagine that Tennessee is either starting school, they're starting winter conditioning. They have players that signed in December to play for Jeremy Pruitt because they had no inkling that he was in trouble that are now on campus. They can't get out of their letter of intent. Now, if they tried and they really pressed, maybe. But the school would be more of, hey, wait till we get a new guy, and then maybe just wait a little bit longer. Texas, for example. Should Texas signees be granted a release from their letter of intent? Weren't they given a little bait and switch? They signed to go play at Texas. I don't want to hear that people signed to go play at a school. They signed because of the relationships they've built up with their position coach or their head coach. Unless that's your dream school, how many players currently on Nebraska's roster, outside of local guys, in-state guys, they grew up dreaming of playing at Nebraska or Nebraska's their favorite team? No, they chose Nebraska because of opportunities to play right away, the relationship they built with the head coach or the position coach, their comfort level, their fit. But a lot of it had to do with the coaches. Tom Herman's no longer at Texas. They signed a really, really good recruiting class. I'm sure a lot of those players signed because of something they built up with Tom Herman, believe it or not. He's a good recruiter. He can sell. He just can't show. Or the other assistants that were on that Texas staff. And now they're not there. And now they're going to play for a head coach. And Steve Sarkisian, who I'm sure didn't wait very long to get a hold of Texas commits. But shouldn't they be granted a release immediately if they ask for one to explore their options? Or at least to say, let me figure out if Texas is still the right place for me. This would add to the wild, wild west that currently is free agency in college athletics, but I think it's only fair to do. But nobody wants to broach this subject. They don't want to say, hey, this should be something we should have a discussion of, because that new coach doesn't want to lose an entire recruiting class or have people say, no, I'm out. And at that point, where do you go to find players? Well, you have to be recruiting your current roster all times. We are seeing that with the transfer portal. Whether you like it or not, you got to recruit your own roster year after year after year. And it may not be just, hey, what are you thinking there, George? What are you thinking about coming back for another year? You're recruiting your roster by your actions, by what you say and if you follow through and the success that you have. But now Tennessee's recruiting class, they've committed to what? They have no idea who's coming in. What if that new coach that comes in recruited them at another school when he was at his other school, and you said, I don't like that guy at all. I'd rather take Jeremy Pruitt. Now that guy's your head coach. How are you supposed to feel? Oh, I guess I gotta do it. No, this should be an opportunity where the NCAA, hold your laughter, does the right thing. That these signees of places that fire the coach after the signing period, you are granted a release from your letter of intent. And maybe there's a window that allows that new staff to re-recruit you before you make the decision that, yes, I want my release. But it's a bait and switch. What, do you sit at a place for spring football and then in the June you decide, nah, I'm out. And now you're searching for spots that have already been taken up? I just don't think it's fair. But again, we're talking about the NCAA and being fair. Now, somebody who in these early enrollees in Nebraska that is coming, I think this is something to further explore and will be one of the storylines and things to watch when we roll around to spring football will be Thomas Fedoni. Chafe and I were talking about this, and it's up on the radio replay page in the segment that Chafe and I were discussing early enrollees. So Thomas Fedoni, number one tight end in the country coming out of Council Bluffs, Lewis Central. Physically, he looks much older than a lot of his class that he is entering with. And once he steps foot in Lincoln, and he has, it's go time. I think the NFL is calling. If things work like they're supposed to, you get the top player to position group in your program, and you develop them, and then you send them off to the NFL. They give you at least three years of starting contributions, and you get them off to the NFL. That's how the cycle works. So the NFL is now calling. There's the run-up to the NFL, which is a few years away. But barring any injuries, I think the sky's the limit for Thomas Fedoni. He's put himself in a great opportunity to achieve that goal. On field, he can create mismatches. He'll be a matchup nightmare for a lot of teams in the Big Ten. And I keep thinking that the best way to look at him is Kyle Pitts at Florida, the new position in the NFL. Just look at the last, look at Saturday and Sunday football in the NFL. Outside of one of the best NFL tight ends in George Kittle that's not in the postseason, look at how important the tight end position has become in the NFL, how it's used, how it's not the old tight end of you're just an addition to the offensive line and you're a blocker. No, you're running right down the seams. You're splitting safeties. You're an integral part of the offense, and it's not just as a safety valve. It's something real. We've seen Kittle and Kelce in the NFL change that role. They become kind of a hybrid. They could play the role of a wide receiver. You line them up all over the field. Look what Andy Reid does with his tight end. He lines up all over the field, in the slot, next to the tackle, out wide. That's how I see Thomas Fedoni at Nebraska. Kyle Pitts was great to watch at Florida. Look at what he did for Kyle Trask. You have somebody dynamic that is built like a tight end, but can be a hybrid and play wide receiver and tight end. Billingsley from Alabama was the same way. Listed as a tight end, his metrics tell you he's a tight end, but what did he do? He played like a wide receiver. And working with wide receivers and tight ends during the spring, watch out. More time to break down the other early enrollees. But there's one to watch. And you're going to have a tight end room that the tight end room at Nebraska in 21, the room that you have the most faith in, that you have the fewest amount of questions, that's something we'll pose to our guys tomorrow when they join us. All right, that'll do it for the show. Thanks to everybody on this football Monday after an exhilarating weekend of the NFL. Georgia's Packers are going to the Super Bowl. I'm okay touching the money here. I don't have any faith in the Buccaneers. They beat an XFL quarterback in Breeze. Okay,
Gary, and I'm going to touch the money on the other side. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
No, we got to do that.
The
Why
Chiefs
you do that?
Are going to
no,
the
no, you're
Bowl.
Just saying that as Patrick, a retaliation to me.
No, Patrick Mahomes is going to play. He's going to go out there. He's going to shut everybody up. He's like, okay, I'm the best in this game. I'm the best in this division. They're going to the Super Bowl. Next Monday, we're going to have quite the show.
I hope you're right, but I know what you just did there. Okay? I truly believe about your team.
Yeah.
You're just saying that to cause issues.
Not yet.
Well, of course, as we lead up to that, we'll have more on, Buffalo. So tell them, you like the lines? Kansas City Buffalo line seems right.
What is it?
It's 3. Green Bay and the Bucks, which I've seen at 3.5 just recently, seems a little low.
Yeah.
It's all about your Packers.
Bet the house on.
Don't worry about the AFC game. It's all about your Packers. I mean, you'd hate to lose on your home field when you're hosting to Brady.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it ain't happening.
I know it isn't happening. I have the most faith of the four that are left, the most faith that the Packers will be in the Super Bowl.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Is that what you're going to be saying about 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. All of the segments, Matt Verzal, Mike Schaefer, Mark Manning, all up on the Radio Replay page, which you can find under the Gary Sharp Show tab at 1620 The Zone. Coming up tomorrow, we will be joined by the likes of Andy Kendi, Robin Washut, and Tom Chattel. Robin's thoughts on Nebraska basketball, which is going on a hiatus, which health first and foremost, but in terms of playing basketball and the development, what that'll do for this team, that there's part of me that says just get to November of 21. All right, we'll do all that to tomorrow. And Sportsmanlike Conduct is coming up next. For George, I'm Gary. We'll talk to you at 10 a.m. tomorrow with another edition of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.